good, isn't it? Praise God. Let's sing this praise God when its wounded heart touched mine. Let's stand our feet. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be long tonight. Praise the Lord.
Said, Thomas, feel the marks and be believing and not doubting. Lord, we thank you this evening that you're risen from the dead. We thank you this evening that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon thee, and by thy stripes we were healed. Lord, we're glad tonight that you've never changed, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're glad tonight that you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Lord, we've come to lift your name tonight. We've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. We've come to say again, I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. You purchased my redemption on Calvary's tree. We thank you, Lord, for salvation tonight. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to thank you for coming again. Father, bless your children tonight. Each and every one in this room and those that maybe had to work or couldn't be here. Bless them and strengthen them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for how you've touched my dad. Pray you'll continue to strengthen him and bless him and speak to him and move upon him afresh. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless your word to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Lord, help us to be the men and women of God that you want every one of us to be. Lord, grant us thy wisdom and guidance. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you to do it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to get into Daniel tonight because I want to just speak a wee bit about prayer in a moment, because I want to give time for us to pray. But in case I forget, the Lord will, we continue in Daniel on Sunday, the Lord will. And we're going to try our new service times. Most people I've talked to is keen to do it. 11 o'clock sharp on Sunday morning, and we need to get out for 11:30. Because people... Hey, Scott got it. John said, somebody do it, then go home. Not right. Amen. But we're going to try to get out for 12:30. So, like, even if the preaching doesn't start at 11:30 and you take 40 minutes, that's 12:10, that still gives 20 minutes for song and prayer and worship before we go, and then that gives time for the brothers. Brother Nigel travels from Hillsborough, Jeff and Suzanne from Rough Island, some people do come quite a bit, and we appreciate them coming, and we want to give them time then. Our second service will be at 3:30. Now, because if it's 3:30, doesn't mean I'm going to preach for 2 hours. It might take three, but I'm just joking. But we'll try and keep it 40 minutes preaching, I think, is enough. 40 minutes, and if we can try and keep the 40 minutes, and then we have 40 minutes in the morning and 40 minutes in the evening, and that's enough. I'll tell you, if God gives you 5 minutes, so it's from Him, that'll be enough. Isn't that right? But we just want to try and have it like that and see how it goes over the winter time. And it means you're going to be home for the evening, those of us with children and stuff, and you're home for the evening. And if somebody does want to go somewhere else to support a meeting or something, they can do that as well. Or if there's an invitation somewhere else to go, you can do that as well. So it's going to give a bit of freedom. And we just thank the Lord for that. And so I think everybody's in agreement for it. And we just thank the Lord for that. Also, just to tell you about my dad, I was away fitting skirting on a house yesterday, and I got a phone call from my mum to say, your dad's really, really ill, and he's talking about dying. And I thought I was hearing things, and he really was in a bad way. And then Philip rang me just after that again, and he says, I'm telling you, Tommy, dad is in a bad way. I've never seen him like this. And I says, the fella was with me, it was Aidan. Aidan had came to the Lord at the meeting. And Aidan says, no, just go on. You know, don't worry about the job, go on. So, and he said he'd been praying, and I left and went down. And when I got down to my dad's house, I'm telling you, he was white, absolutely white. And he was definitely close to death. And he was in a bad way, I'm telling you. And he was not much pain. He was groaning and moaning. And I prayed with him, and Philip, the two of us prayed with him, we got a hold of him and prayed with him. And he had that much pain on one side of his back, he couldn't even bear nothing to touch it, he couldn't sit up, he couldn't lie down, he didn't know what to do. And he went into the kitchen, he thought of a bed in the kitchen, and he started moaning and calling my name, and that's not like my dad, and he's really in a bad way. And I said, we're going to have to get the doctor. And he didn't want the doctor, he didn't want the hospital. And I said, well, it's coming. Whether you want it or not, we're getting it. And Samuel by that time was home. And he talked with him and I talked to him. And we got the ambulance to come. And we prayed with him again. Samuel laid hands on him again, prayed again. And I believe God touched him. And this is the thing, sometimes you pray for somebody and you don't see an instant evidence. And you think nothing's happened. But the Bible says, if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And I do believe God done something. And John as well, I text Brother John, and John sent me a wee message, and it really helped me before I went, just to believe. And I took that on board, and I had that in me. See, when you get a word, it's a seed. And you can act on that. And it doesn't need to be a big word. And I just had that with me, believing it, only believe. And that's the way it was. And we got over to the hospital and they took him in. And then my brother-in-law knew the main doctor over there. He lived next door to him. And he's actually a Christian. He's a believer. He goes to the Baptist in Dromore. So he talked with him, and I think they put him through quick. And things got moving pretty quick. And the x-rays, the tick, or the scan, they did the scan like you do with a woman that's pregnant first. It didn't show up. Then they did the main scan. And it goes off to Australia. I never knew that, but it goes to Australia. The experts over there give their opinion, and then it comes back. So all this went on through the night. And you know, Australia's, they're coming up in the morning now. So things were happening quick. And what had happened was, behind his right kidney, he was internally bleeding. They don't know how it happened. He says he didn't fall. I don't know if he hurt himself or what happened, but internally bleeding behind his right kidney. But the bit the surgeons couldn't understand, it stopped bleeding. The bleeding had actually stopped by itself. They thought they were going to have to operate, but it had stopped. So they said then they wouldn't have to operate. But my dad told me he's had problems for a year. And he's never told nobody. My mom didn't know, none of us knew. And And he's had problems for a year, and he wouldn't go to the hospital. He had a fear of going to the hospital. And I told him, I says, Dad, a woman came in the prayer line, and William Branham said the angel told him to send her to the doctor. That's what he said. Another case, for he told the woman, there's a doctor I know, and you take your boy there. I believe, and I've said it before, I believe a nurse and a doctor is a calling of God. I believe that. And I believe God can use them things. But he is a healer. God's ultimately a healer. But the Lord still uses, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. If you need a tablet to thin your blood, take it. There's nothing wrong with taking it. My wife's grandmother died, and half an aspirin would have saved her. You say that's nonsense, it's not. It would have thinned her blood. But because she wouldn't take a tablet or anything, and that was the way she looked at it, she would refuse the tablets, and she died. And I tell you, God can use medicine. How many believes that? And so they got him on the medication, and the pain was a big thing. He was in desperate pain, and really desperate pain, and they put the drips in him and the different things in him, and it started working, and he started to come round and everything. And we stayed with him into the early hours this morning, me and Samuel and Matthew as well. And then we went back over the day, and he was sitting out of bed on the chair and everything. And there was a massive change in him. Bobby saw him. Now yesterday he was white, really white. And said a lot of things, you know, he thought he was going. And he was giving me the instructions, because he's going, and I said, Dad, you're not going yet. And he thought God had finished with him, that he's going. And he said he's had us a lot of time. But I believe God can extend your time. Because I read of a man in the Bible, and he got 14 extra years. Amen. Yeah. And we just thank God tonight that the Lord's touched him. And we just want to read a few scriptures. I want to continue to pray. Message Brian, Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. A brother in the south, and all over different places, people's been praying. Prayer works. Amen. Prayer really works, doesn't it?
Amen.
And I tell you, we just thank God for... And I said to Mark coming in here tonight, and I'm going to tell you this. Now, I don't believe every fellowship's like that, what I'm going to say. And I'm not saying, you know, this is what I believe. If I closed my eyes tonight and walked through this fellowship, put my hand on somebody with my eyes closed, I don't care who it is in this room, you could near guarantee any person in here could pray for you if you weren't well. That's true. Because we have been taught over the years from the Word of God to do it. But there's some people who don't believe that. They don't believe they can pray for anybody. And James White never believed he could pray for the sick until he had the vision of the whipping of Jesus. And he saw the whipping post. He saw the Lord suffering. And the Lord turned to him and said, James White, is this not enough for your healing? And James White prayed for a woman after that, and God instantly healed her. And I sincerely believe there's a lack. Now, I'm not saying in the church as a fellowship, I mean universally in the body. We need the gifts of healing. We need to be praying, men and women, seeking God. I mean seeking God for the gift of healing. And when you think of William Brown's original calling, not what man's made it, but the original calling, that angel was sent to him specifically with the gift of healing to the nations. That was the original calling. And that man was sent to pray for the sick. Or Roberts had a gift in his hand, sent to pray for the sick. Jack Cole, so many great men of God. The Jeffrey brothers, Smith Wigglesworth, all them men of God. You'd say that was yesterday, but Jesus hasn't changed. That was the ministry of Jesus. It was none of their ministries. It was never the ministry of William Branham and the ministry of Wigglesworth. It was the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's still the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's to be continued on. Thank God for it. Praise God. God, but I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe others have prayed. If we could turn to 1 Timothy and just remain seated. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. And I may have talked about this before sometime. Just a few scriptures. I want to just mention a bit on prayer. And that Paul teaches us to pray. And we need to be praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. I exhort you therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving the thanks be made for all men. God wants us to pray always. Supplication, waiting upon God. Intercession, interceding. I believe that's another ministry we don't hear much today. There's people called to intercessory prayer. Now that's not just saying a prayer. That's somebody that closes themselves away for hours. And they don't, if you have to work on it, that's not it. This is gifted. This is something God leads somebody into. And they could pray for hours through the night. It's intercessory prayer. There's men gifted, women gifted for intercessory prayer. And we often see great preachers and we think, well, there's great preachers. But look at Spurgeon. Spurgeon said his secret was under the church. And he took them down there and there's people praying continually, cycling in prayer. When they finished their shift, another shift came in. Prayer was made continually. And he said that's why there's the success. And everywhere you read of a move of God, everywhere you read of anything God's doing, there's prayer. And prayer is the most important thing in a church. It's the most important thing as a Christian. And you ask any man that's ever backslid. And I'm sure all of us have had experiences where maybe we backslid a bit from what we were at one point in our lives through our journey. Maybe you haven't, but I'm just saying. But the first thing you know it goes, it's not reading the Bible, it's prayer. Prayer goes. Not the same as a husband and wife, there has to be a communication with them. If they're going to remain close, there has to be a continual communication between them all the time. And it's the same with us and the Lord. There must be a continual communication and prayer. And you can read and not be praying, but God wants us to be reading and praying. And it's the same with preaching and all them things. That's good, but we need the move of the Spirit as well. We need the Spirit as much as we need the preaching. And the worship here. Worship, thanksgiving. And Brother John preached a good message before he went to England about the incense. It's a type of prayer going up before God. A sweet smelling savour. It's the prayers of the saints, the worship, and the praise as well. God wants us to worship Him in song and prayer and thank Him. Thank the Lord for what He has done. Thank the Lord He saved you. Thank the Lord He healed you. Thank the Lord He met your need. Give God thanks and glory. The Lord wants to be thanked. Don't thank nobody else. Thank the Lord. God wants us to give Him all the glory. Nobody else the glory. Praise God, but He wants the glory. Now Paul meant this. The primary action of the true church is prayer. It's prayer. First of all, before all things, to the front of all things, the true church of Christ was to be a praying church, was to be a praying people. God wants us to be praying. In Philippians 4 and 6 it says, Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto the Lord. And our brother John mentioned as well about the praying in the morning and the praying in the evening. And now we're coming into the book of Daniel and you're going to see that he prayed 3 times a day. Amen. 3 times a day. And I've always been a believer, first thing in the morning, whether you're traveling, no matter where you're going, or taking the children to school, even if it's just a short prayer, pray. Don't go and first pray before you go. You need God's protection on the roads. You need God's blood over your children. You need God over yourself. Pray for yourself. I remember as a young Christian, my Uncle John said to me years ago, he might have mentioned it as well the other week, always pray for yourself. I hear people on the chat, I mentioned this, they pray via car, via Rome, via Andrea, and all around the whole world. They pray about everything, but not the main essential things here. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our meetings. We need to pray for our families. It's like the man said about helping missionaries. He says, start at home first. What's needed at home first then? If you can do that and more, then go ahead. But it must start at home first. And God wants us to be praying for ourselves and praying for each other. Amen. Yes, amen. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Amen. I remember having a conversation with this particular man in Africa, and he basically put a curse on me. But God lifted it off again. But he done his best to do it. Because I told him the truth that he was a false prophet. And I told him I didn't agree with nothing he was preaching. And he was exposed. It all came out eventually. But what he tried to do, God broke it. God took it off. That's the devil. Could you imagine somebody trying to put a curse on Paul? I'm telling you, when you're covered by the blood of Jesus, curse won't work on you. The blood of Jesus is our protection. Revelation tells us he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. God wants us to be praying. Amen. The true church is anxious about nothing. Don't be worried about nothing. I'm telling you, that was a wake-up call. My dad thought he was going. Now, he said he was ready, no fear of going. But he was worried maybe for my mom and other things. And I tell you, we can be so busy with life, so busy with different things, but we don't give no time to God. But I believe God wants us, and God lets things happen in our lives. I've always believed it. God can let things happen, so it will turn them. And we wonder why it's happening, but it's God. I can look back at so many experiences in my life, and I was in tears, different things happened, I couldn't explain, understand why it happened, but I can look back tonight and I know why it happened. But not at the time. It was God. Because the eagle stirs the nest. God wants to mold us and God wants to lead us like the diamond. The diamond you see in the shop didn't start like that. But it was taken out rough and then it was worked on. And God wants to work on his people. Because he's building a church. And the Bible says that will be a church without spot or wrinkle. And he's going to have a glorious church. A glorious church. And we're part of that church because we're born of his spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16-18 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So people say, I want to know God's will. Pray. It's God's will that you spend time praying. I'm telling you, and from I started serving the Lord, there's times I can look back at my life, there's times I haven't even went to work on a day. I remember waking one day and I felt that God said to me, don't leave the room today. Now I know that sounds crazy. I thought it did as well. But that evening a woman came to the house and a young girl was dead. And I spent all day waiting on the Lord, praying. And God kept giving me that scripture, if thou canst believe, thou'll see the glory of God. And that young woman was raised up that evening. God raised her up and delivered her. Prayer works. Prayer definitely works. And I'm telling you, prayer works, and I believe God will meet your need. Sometimes it can be a test, but God will meet your need. God cannot fail. He can't fail. He could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. What's the rest of it say? That we might have strong consolation. What for? To lay hold upon the hope set before us. And we have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, and which entered within the veil. Jesus has went within the veil. The place for no man could go. Christ went and he tore asunder. And the way is made. into the holiest of holies for any man or woman today that will believe. Can enter straight in to the presence of God. You need no earthly priest, because you now have a superior priesthood. A priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Colossians 4 and 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So God wants us to continue in prayer. You can never be out of God's will praying. I literally believe if you took a day off work to pray, you're in God's will. And I believe this. And everybody might not agree with this, but for me, God will give you that day. You haven't lost a thing. You can't lose nothing when you're serving God. I'm telling you, we can do too much, but we can't pray too much. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And God wants us to get into a place where we get into the Spirit and pray. Do we get so prayed up, we're praying in the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, I can't forget it. It's just a young believer, just serving the Lord about a year, thrown into Crumlin Road Jail. And there was a boy built like a house. I'm telling you, he was a big fella. And let me tell you, massive. And he racked everywhere. And I wasn't meant to go in there. They admitted afterward they made a mistake, or else they deliberately done it. I don't know what made it work, but I wasn't actually meant to go in the cell with him, but I was put in with him. And I got in there, and all the jails were ripped down. Prison wardens, they broke hands and fingers and all sorts of stuff. It was hard to control. And I got in there, and I just took a leading to pray. Now, you remember, I wasn't anywhere near the size I'm now. It's a wee skinny fella. How many remembers when I was skinny? I used to be skinny, you know. I was thin at one time. I know it's hard to believe. Her as well. And as well. But I'm telling you, I got down on my knees and started praying. And I forgot all about him. And the presence of God came in that cell. And I was no more praying in English. It was an unknown tongue. And I prayed, and I don't know how long I prayed, but I was carried away with it, into it. And when I got up on my knees, he was on his knees, on the whole floor. You think somebody threw water over it, with the tears come out of that man. And I led him to the Lord, right on the floor, on his knees. Now I no more fear of him. He was my bodyguard for the rest of the few days. And when we went out round, he went out round with me. And this fella had a bike on him, I'm telling you. Big. And he said to me, the priests give me all these different things. You dissect them, what's good and what's not. And I read through them, don't need that and don't need nothing. And he just put them out the windy like confetti. Like confetti out the windy in the Crumlin Road Jail. And there's Protestant minister was to come and see me and bring me a Bible, and he's coming yet. And I said, that man, I need a King James Bible. And he said, I'll get you one of the priests. And I thought he's joking. He got me a King James Bible of the priest. And we started reading that King James Bible and preaching out in the cell window at night. And you would not believe the things God done in that jail, I'm telling you. People would come round the breakfast table by themselves in the morning wanting prayer, saying they were bound with alcohol. I'm in here because I'm bound with drinking and drugs, and they'd come for prayer. People were getting saved in the Crumlin Road Jail. You know, we were somewhere one time and they told us that they had a prayer meeting for a fellow. It was Andrew Beecham. They had a prayer meeting for Andrew Beecham. In the Mays prison, did you know that? They were praying for Andrew Beecham when he wasn't well in the Mays prison. Christians were in the Mays prison. I know that's hard. You ask Andrew when he comes again about it, and he'll tell you how they were praying for him over in the Mays prison. God can do it, I'm telling you. He can deliver men and women. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, and I'm going to close. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants us to be praying and worshiping as well. I believe worship is important as praying. Sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord and pray. There's only one secret, prayer. For a man that's going to have an anointing for preaching, prayer. For a man that's seeking God, prayer. For financial need, prayer. For salvation in the home, prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the answer. I'm telling you, pray about everything. Make your request be known unto the Lord. And I want us to, it's just a quarter past, and I want us to have time tonight to pray. If somebody feels like singing a song, just I want you to be free in the house of God. Really seek the Lord tonight. I want you to look, I want you to pray for my brother David. People could think, well, you know, he's past it now, and God couldn't do this, and God couldn't do it. God can save that man, deliver him. I believe it. I believe it. I believe we need to bombard the throne of heaven and pray. My dad's worrying about him and worrying about that. God can change all that. God can change everything. I'm telling you now, God can do it. And I believe God will do it. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.
Yes,
go ahead, John. Yes. Yes.